following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning again. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege of being the pastor here. Like I said, it's great to be together. And isn't it wonderful to hear stories of the way that God is moving in the lives of us, the life of Sue, the ways that she is surrounded by God's love, by our love. It's really incredible. It's really inspiring. Yeah, and it's a great way to look at the idea of being a compelling Christian community, and that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning. Remember last week we took a little break from our 10 Healthy Missional Marker series, and we focused on our holiday, Family Day, reminded of how God put together the body of Christ just as he wanted it. And that we each have different roles and different gifts to bring to this family of God. And that we then have a responsibility to own and live into our own gifts and our own passions, and also be mindful of and appreciate and embrace the unique gifts of all of those who are a member of God's family. It's challenging, but it's certainly fruitful, and it allows us to be a more complete representation of the body of Christ that God created. 2 weeks ago, you'll remember, I won't necessarily, except from what I listened to afterwards, but we had a guest preacher here, Dr. Bill Gardner, and he looked at Acts chapter 1 and preached about the marker of global perspective and engagement. As a healthy and missional church and as healthy and missional individuals, Scripture requires us to be engaged in the whole world. In missions, in ministry, and in prayer. We have a responsibility of sharing the gospel throughout the world, a responsibility to God, and a responsibility to the people of our world. Being a healthy missional church means understanding the world outside our own community and then engaging in it, learning the differences, embracing the differences, and then working to share the truth and the love of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And so now we're back to continuing on in our Healthy Missional Marker series. We're week number 6, looking at these markers. Uh-oh. It's not where the slides... I had in my head where I thought they were, and then I didn't put them into the computer where I thought they were. So we'll get there. We'll get there. You already know what the marker is, so it's not like a surprise, but, you know. Today we're going to look at compelling Christian community. We'll be exploring what that looks like as we become a healthier and more missional church, and as we become healthier and more missional individuals. We're going to look at what God has to say, what we read in God's Word about these markers. And specifically today, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. We'll be kind of continuing on in Acts from where we read 2 weeks ago. Skipping a little section, but we'll look at that too. So we'll be Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42 and reading through verse 47. So I'd invite you to open up there now in your Bibles or Bible apps. If you don't have one, please raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be happy to bring you one either for today or to keep, because we value reading the Word of God together. So let me pray for us this morning, and we will dig in together. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this community, for this body of believers, men and women who are seeking after your will for their lives, for our church, for our community, and for our world. God, we pray this morning that we might be reminded of the way you call us into deep community, deep relationship, deep fellowship, deep intimacy with your word, and deep worship. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Now I can do the slide. So Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This marker, this compelling Christian community marker, is one that when I was preparing for this series back in the fall, I looked at and thought, okay, yeah, like that's, I kind of have my head wrapped around that one. I understand what I want to say, what really speaks to me about this marker, and, you know, I was really excited about it. And I'm not going to lie, I felt pretty confident about it. And I thought, this is one of those ones that I know. Camp ministry sort of lends itself to community. And then, as I continued to read and continued to dig in more and more, God did what God so often does. He took the thing that I had been thinking about and that I was so sure of and opened my eyes to what he was really saying to me. What he wanted me to say and open up in this passage for us as a church family. And about this idea of compelling Christian community. The words of this marker, kind of in and of themselves, are a wonderful challenge to us as individuals and to us as a church family, aren't they? Just that word compelling. Like that's an intense word. It's not just friendly, not just nice, not even just attractive. It's more than just comfortable or affirming or safe. It's compelling. There's distinct actions that we are called to, a set of actions that Luke lays out for us in this section of Acts. But before we get to the part about what is going on in this very first church, I want to go back to the beginning of this chapter just for a reminder, a little reminder of something that was promised by Jesus himself in Acts chapter 1. The power of the Holy Spirit coming upon people. The beginning of all that happens in the rest of the book of Acts and what we read here in verses 42 to 47 begins with the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work, and then incredible things come of that. We read that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then just a chapter earlier, Jesus said to them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We see the fulfillment of that promise in consecutive chapters. It's like right there for us. It's beautiful. The power of the Holy Spirit. And it's compelling. It draws people in to see what is going on. It brings people to ask, to question, to try to figure out, like, what the heck is going on in this place? And then Peter takes the time to address what actually may have been a pretty reasonable assumption for onlookers who really didn't understand what was going on. And he gave an explanation of who Jesus is and what was happening and why this was all promised before. And Peter's words there are life-changing. And then people come to understand and embrace and accept the message of Jesus Christ and are baptized into this first community of Christians that we read about starting in verse 42. And so our passage for today gets into those first days and weeks and months and years, perhaps, of life together for believers. It's the very beginning of the church. And so as we dig into these six verses, please don't lose sight of the fact that the beginning of all of this is the empowering of the Holy Spirit. None of this happens without the Holy Spirit. None of it. I don't want us to read these six verses and think, well, if we just follow this formula, these clear things that Luke tells us, then we'll be all set. These weren't like tasks to be done to follow rules. These were the outpouring of what God was doing in this community. It comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so let's take a look now at what made that Christian community here in the very beginnings in Acts so compelling. What was so special? What draws people to it? Well, in verse 42, we read about four specific things that the first church is engaging in. Engaging in out of desire, out of their own passion to grow in relationship with Christ, and out and in the power of the Holy Spirit. The first is a devotion to the apostles' teaching, and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. These four things that we read about in verse 42 are compelling. They're compelling to those around it, and we'll see a little bit more of that as we get into it. But let's talk about these four things first. A devotion to the apostles' teaching. We read in chapter 1 that even the disciples were missing, even still, the disciples were missing out on some of the key things that Jesus had taught. We talked about this Friday night here at Friday Night Live about how the disciples were still missing who Jesus came for. They were wondering what was going on specifically with Israel, with like right here in this small little section. They were still missing it, and Jesus continued to teach them. Continued to draw them near to him, continued to open their eyes to all that he came to do. And that's no different for the church as they continue. They're still trying to figure out all of this. They're trying to figure out what Jesus' teaching means for them as they move from a life and religion of Judaism to a new life in Jesus Christ. What did Jesus mean when he said what he said? What does that teaching have to do with what I learned, you know, before? How do we reconcile all these things? There's a lot for these early Christians to unpack. The apostles spent time unpacking Jesus' words and the story of Jesus himself and the truth about what that means then for people's life now. Just as Jesus spent time teaching and helping his disciples and thousands of others learn, the apostles and the early church continued in this important work. They continuing to learn and to grow and to understand how Jesus' teachings now impact their life. Fellowship. I was just blown away when I read the little piece about this word. It's translated from the Greek word koinonia, which is actually more precisely translated sharing in common, but we'll use the word fellowship. And it talked about the relationship that this word, this koinonia, has to the kind of mutuality that takes place in marriage. This fellowship that this early church, this first church, had was so intimate, was so deep, so intense, so full, that the sharing, the fellowship, was similar to what happens in marriage. That it's that kind of connection that these early Christians had with one another. And we see a little bit more of what this means in later verses. But the reality is that these early Christians experienced a real connection with one another. They knew each other really well, not just the good, but the bad and the hard and the difficult. If I'm perfectly honest, this is the section that I like to focus on the most. Like, this would be like my bread and butter. Like, yeah, this is it. You know, the fellowship, building relationships, getting to know one another, supporting one another through difficult times, sharing both in joy and pain together. If I were to have decided what compelling Christian community was about, this is where I would have landed, and maybe just here. Fortunately, we have a God who is infinitely wiser and deeper than I am, and so he calls us to much more than that. So we look at the breaking of bread. The wording here may make us think just about the Lord's Supper. And that likely is a part of it. The Lord's Supper is a part of this breaking of the bread, but it's not just that. And we'll see again later, you read in the later verses, about the ways that people shared in meals together, shared in meals at homes together. And so it incorporates that as well. And so it's sharing in meals together, both the holy, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and the mundane, the everyday eating around a table, sitting around a table and engaging in life together, engaging in the basic but intimate experience of sitting across the table from someone else, asking about how the day went, and finding out more about the body. Certainly there's ties here with the fellowship piece, right? But it may be that this is so important. Sharing meals is so important that it was set aside as its own thing. Fellowship doesn't incorporate all of this in these verses. The breaking of bread is specifically stated. And that's a part of what God was doing in this community. And then the fourth is prayers. Probably none of us are surprised to see that prayer or prayers was an important part of the life of the early church. I mean, it kind of seems like a no-brainer. But it also means that we should know just how vital a community praying together is. Prayer is crucial to the Christian community. Not only because it is offering up to God prayers of petition, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of intercession, but because a real praying community is listening to God together. They're relying on what God is saying to them. It puts God's work and the work of the Holy Spirit before any individual's knowledge or experience or feelings or intuition. It's an act of submission to God together, acknowledging the inescapable fact that God is God and we are not, and leaving it up to Him. These are four distinctions of that early church that give us a glimpse into this compelling Christian community. And then, how do we know it's compelling? Well, in verse 43, we read, "Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles." This wasn't everyone who was a part of the community. This was everyone. This was people outside the community. This were people who had no idea who Jesus was, were seeing what was taking place in this community, and were in awe of it. The King James Version reads that fear came upon every soul. It's kind of fear of what God is doing through this community, in this community. Just imagine that for a second. Imagine a church that is so clearly full of the work of the Holy Spirit that everyone that encounters it is in awe, is fearful of the power of God. It's the kind of fear that makes me think of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia and the interaction the kids have with Mr. Beaver or the beavers. One of the children asks of Aslan, "Is he quite safe?" And Mr. Beaver responds, "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." A compelling Christian community forces people to be in awe of what God is doing in and through that community. Is it safe? Of course it isn't safe, but it's good. Is God safe? Of course God is not safe, but He's good. He's the King. Are we willing to be that kind of community? To allow the Holy Spirit to empower us and to be the kind of community that Luke tells us about here in Acts. Luke continues to unpack for us what this community, this first Christian community, looked like. There were signs and wonders performed. And they continued the work that God did, that Jesus did, that continued after the crucifixion, and now after the resurrection through the apostles. And then we read more about the way of life within this first Christian community. There was fruit that was evident. There's a genuine concern for physical needs, a genuine concern for the well-being of one another. People supported each other. People spent time together. They worshiped together. There's a genuine desire to live together, to share in life together, and to be a deep, authentic community. And again, this fruit was compelling for those outside the community. It spoke something great to those outside the community. It was a clear beacon of hope, of love, of care, and of the power of the Holy Spirit to the surrounding people, to the people who witnessed this. We read the words, enjoying the favor of the people. And that, those words seem wrong in this place, don't they? Don't they feel a little bit weird? I think so often we think that to follow the Holy Spirit means that we're going to be seen as bad or wrong or anti everything else. But what was happening here, people loved. They wanted to be a part of. There was clearly something going on through God with these people. The way that these Christians lived, the way that God was at work in and through them, was such that they found favor even with those who were not a part of the earliest church. These Christians were doing something countercultural, something different, something scary, but still compelling, and others were drawn to them. And God brought new people to the community daily, and they accepted Christ and were saved. I long for Emmanuel to be a compelling Christian community, for all of us to have the stories that Sue shared earlier. Stories where we talk about the things that God is doing in and through us, and people are so taken by that that they have to know more. They have to know more about what God is doing. They have to know more about Jesus. I long for us to be the kind of community that the people of South Surrey and White Rock are in awe of. Not in awe of the fantastic programs or the bright lights or the fancy things going on, but in awe of what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through us as we care for one another and as we minister to our community. And what's scary about that is that we may have no idea right now what that looks like. But if we seek God together, if we pray and ask God what He would have us do, then we begin to be that compelling community that creates a sense of awe in those who witness us, who witnesses God in us. This is bigger than small groups, but small groups are a chance, I think, to do it in a slightly safer place, because we all like safe. As much as we shouldn't all the time, we do. And so you'll see these around you. I would encourage you to take the sheet home and to pray about being a part of one of the groups that are already meeting as a part of our church, because they're meeting all over the place at different times with different focuses. But to be a part of a smaller group that allows you to even practice what it looks like for us to be a whole church that is in this kind of compelling Christian community together, where we can be learning from the apostles' teaching, we can be fellowshipping together, breaking bread together, we can be praying together. If you have questions about sheet or about small groups, about any of it, please shoot me an email, call me, ask me. Let's talk about how you can be a part of a group. And because I want each of you to be a part of something where you can grow, but more importantly, like we talked about last week, a place where you can help others grow. Will it be safe? Will these groups be safe? Probably a little more so, but they won't be totally safe. As we follow the Holy Spirit, as we ask the Holy Spirit to be upon this church, as we ask for God to guide us as a church, as we pray to God and listen to God, will it be safe? Of course not. But it'll be good. It'll be good. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would move here in our church family, that your Holy Spirit would empower us to be the kind of community where your power and glory are known, that we would be the kind of community that our neighbors are in awe of. God, we know that we cannot do this alone or by our own ideas, but only as you lead us. So God, we humbly ask that you would lead us, that you would make known to us what you would have us do. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.